gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Up in here to be walking on sunshine?
Yes, we are. Wow. That's, they decided to match the lighting to our theme song.
Yes.
We're literally walking on the surface of the sun. It's so bright. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. I guess what they just figured out yesterday, Jim, I'm blocking your shot with
my
mic stand, so something needs to be fixed.
Well, that's why we have rehearsals.
That's why you need to see Jim make funny faces when
yes.
we debut on Monday on Current TV. All right.
Alec Baldwin be my stand-in. Just sit in. You'll have, you know, get a shot of him.
And oh, you know what we should do the first day is have him, Jim, go all Christian Bale. What about me blocking his shot? Yeah.
Yeah.
We have done professionally.
Da-da-da-da-da.
And he just walks out. Slam, slam. Awesome. All right. Come on, Jim. Give me a little pub the first day. Here we go. Look alive. Polly writes, Steph, will you webcast the show live now when Stephanie's show is on Current?
Computer says no.
Kids, we need to... Nobody panic, all right? We will still Ustream,
right.
But just not with video.
Right. We will Ustream the audio, and the chat room with Ustream will still be there as well.
We'll do the show on TV at the Current Studios and then run back over here and do the radio.
Yes.
Yes.
No. And Jim is confusing you deliberately now. No, the only way you can see us is to get Current TV. Hurry, call your cable providers immediately if you don't have Current. It's Monday, for God's sakes, hurry.
I know on Time Warner, it's 1:42.
Yes.
Well, Time Warner in Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles.
Yes.
Jim confusing people once again, that's what he's here for. Everyone around the country now is scrambling for channel 1:42. That's only on your cable system.
If you go to current.com, they have a channel finder where you can find it on your particular cable system.
Good idea.
So there you go.
Jim is so...
Because radio people will tend to confuse you.
Jim is so 1960s when there's only three channels. What channel is it on?
Yeah.
Well, there's more than... There was
what
channel
is it, 2,
11.
4, or 7?
Which one is it?
And then the local ones, 5 and 11.
Yeah. 11 13. Was Metro Media.
All right. If you were watching a certain channel yesterday, sexy liberal John Fugelsang, who joins us all 3 hours tomorrow, can you believe it? I am so proud of my baby boy.
Ah.
He created, of all of the moments in the 2012 campaign, this may be one of the moments.
Good morning, sir. It's fair to say that John McCain was considerably a more moderate candidate than the ones that Governor Romney faces now. Is there a concern that the pressure from Santorum and Gingrich might force the governor to tack so far to the right it would hurt him with moderate voters in the general election?
Well, I think you hit a reset button for the fall campaign. Everything changes. It's almost like an Etch-a-Sketch. You can kind of shake it up and we start all over again.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
So, he's still working for the Romney campaign?
Yes. Yes.
As far as I know this morning, he is.
Uh-huh. Didn't walk that back, but Mittens tried.
He tried, bless his
Nicely
heart.
Nicely done, John Fugelsang. And that wasn't even a gotcha question. That's a standard question about, you know, people, candidates always have to tack center in the general. And wow. And that was what he got.
No, don't believe anything he said up till now.
Yeah. Don't do
that. Or after now from that point. For that matter.
Exactly. All right. We have lots to get to. Just Carl Fisch's tweets. Just they're my required reading for funnies. Let's say hello to Carl Frisch.
Carl.
Okay. Carl Frisch. Exciting. Bullfightstrategies.com.
So inviting to me.
Good morning, Carl Frisch.
Good morning. You know, I refuse to let John Fugelsang break all the news in this campaign.
Okay. Go ahead.
Do you have some news to break?
Well, I called each of the other candidates to see what their campaigns, what games they would compare themselves to, and I have the results for you.
Oh, okay. Yes. Here is Carl Frisch now with some breaking news on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ron Paul said that Trivial Pursuit was his favorite game.
Yay!
Okay.
It was the rationale behind his campaign, a Trivial Pursuit, if there ever was one.
Sure.
Newt Gingrich said it was Clue, because after all, it was the geometry teacher in the hospital bed with the divorce papers that killed his first wife.
Yes, uh-huh.
Then there's Rick Santorum, who said he liked Rock Band, but he cautioned his evangelical base that this was indeed a godly game because they're fake musical instruments that won't summon the devil.
There you go. Okay.
And then, you know, if we end up at a brokerage convention, you've got Jeb Bush coming in and saying that it was a Bush family tradition to play Risk with the country. And Chris Christie just had three words, hungry, hungry hippo.
All right. You, Carl Frisch, you wrote some skits for the show today.
You're a scamp.
You are just a scamp. Oh, by the way, Jake in Chicago one-ups you on Gingrich. Steph, someone should really tell Newt his campaign is terminally ill and on life support. It's the only way he'll abandon it.
So he would be a game of Operation.
Well, yeah, but it'd be Operation without those little tweezers, right?
Yeah.
You hit the funny bone. All right. Carl Frisch, one of your tweets, all this time I thought Hunger Games was Representative Paul Ryan's published budget plan.
Hey!
You, look at you just count. You are white hot. Step
You're
back.
A panic.
And also, by the way, you Stephanie Miller Show on Current Fun Facts you have. So SM Show launches on Current on the same day Madonna drops her new album. Coincidence?
Who can say?
I think you're trying to, you know, a lot of us are going to be in line. Well, I mean, a lot of people are going to be in line for that Madonna album.
Yeah. And I can
let me your show.
Let me give you one other fun fact that these guys can attest to. I would win a burp off with Madonna.
Hi, I'm Madonna.
Piker. Okay. And also, this has been reported elsewhere in the press, but you write odd current fact. Bill Press's last cable show was MSNBC's Buchanan and Press with Pat. Stephanie Miller's last cable show was CNBC's Equal Time with Babe Buchanan.
Yeah, true. Interesting.
6 degrees of Buchanan separation, and yet neither Bill nor I are ever invited to the Buchanan family Thanksgiving. Don't know why.
I got invited to the James Buchanan family.
Really?
Oh, really?
You are old. There weren't even three channels when you were born. All right. Oh, and by the way, Carl, there was, you know, because you're not generally inaccurate in any way as a journalist, but that was several canceled television shows ago. So that was not my last cable show, but whatever. I'll let that slide.
Your last cable show was on Oprah's network, right?
Yes.
And
You're fired.
You get a show, and now you don't get a show. I've been up all night on the phone with Rosie. Rosie, it's all right.
You had two shows on
Oprah
her channel.
Oprah all that.
You had two shows,
yes.
And they were both canceled.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's something.
Killed her network. Coming for years, Al Gore. All right.
Oh.
I kid. I just.
You know, I don't think you're going to get invited to the Meadow anymore.
Oprah's Meadow? No. I don't know why. I sense the control room just cleared out at Current. They just shut the door, shut the lights off. All right. Well, let's continue anyway. Dive into the right-wing world, shall we? Carl Frisch, Sean Hannity on the president.
He got everything he wanted with Reid and Pelosi. Got a stimulus, on a stimulus. He got all his trillion-dollar deficits. He got everything he wanted. He got his health care plan. You know, nothing worked, though. I say he's president crybaby.
Oh, isn't that?
Oh, great. By the way, I've heard that Sean Hannity is a Muslim.
some say.
Some people say.
Some say. You know, he says he's a Christian.
I've just heard it from some people, yeah. By the way, somebody should tell them we didn't get everything we want. Simple fact, there are hundreds of judges across the country waiting to be confirmed because the Republicans have blocked them.
Yep.
Not to mention anything to deal with global climate change, legal protections for LGBT people in the workplace. I mean, there are dozens and dozens of things that we didn't get. And, you want to talk about crybabies, it's the folks at Fox News whenever we did get something that we wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Eric Bolling on the 5 on the president as well.
He credits, when he's not blaming Bush, he's blaming Fox for all his woes, and he's taking credit for everything. He literally takes credit for saving the auto industry. He takes credit for saving the economy.
True.
I mean, come on, really?
True.
Check.
True.
Delusional.
Oh, he just called the president delusional.
Wow.
Yeah, well, at least the president doesn't have a television show named after his IQ.
Yay!
Hi! See what you did there? Yeah, that's crazy. He has some weird delusion, Carl, that he saved a million jobs and created 200,000 more. Saved the entire auto industry.
Well, you can understand why those talking heads at Fox are concerned. I mean, when the president takes credit for these things. These people at Fox, Eric Bolling, the whole lot of them, they all opposed these things and they worked. They can't let the president show that the government can actually do good.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Dana Perino on the Hannity show.
President Obama has not been able to get beyond the President Bush blame game because that's how they won election in 2008.
Right.
They keep campaigning every single day.
It's because you keep blaming the economic woes on President Obama when he inherited this huge mess that George Bush left when we were losing 700 and some thousand jobs a month.
Here's Jim's stun gun that he uses on our right-wing.
Four wars.
Yeah, exactly. Our right-wing callers, Jim always says, yes, well, President Obama just put those wars on the books, and that's why the deficit, he didn't actually create that. And then it just stuns the caller into,
Muslim, Kenyan.
Go ahead, Carl.
On the right, there seems to be like this Bushnesia. They don't even mention that there was a second Bush presidency at all. And,
Jim has that.
No.
Oh, boy.
I think Marcus Bachman has that.
Hey!
Jim Louise
Warren. And by the way, Reagan never stopped talking about Carter.
Yeah.
That's true. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. Those malaise days.
Yes.
You don't want those back, do you?
Andrea Tantaro's on the
five. New malaise days.
He has a very thin skin. He doesn't like to be criticized.
Obama.
But I also think he doesn't like fair and balanced news. He doesn't like the other side of the story. I mean, we actually have reporters at the White House who ask him questions about gas prices prices are rising instead of leg tangles and what enchants you, Mr. President, what grade would you give yourself? I mean, they ask tough questions at Fox News.
And he doesn't like tough questions.
Yes.
He answers them because
he's
smart.
Can you prove you were born in America? They ask the tough questions.
Well, you know, they do ask the tough questions. I don't know if you ever saw any of those interviews with President Bush back in the day, you know. Does it get to you being president? You could tell everything you need to know about Andrea in the way that she framed her comment. She said he doesn't like fair and balanced news. He doesn't like the other side. So I just scratched your head wondering why they could possibly believe that the words fair and balanced, could mean that it's just the other side of an argument versus actually having to tell the true both sides of an argument, which they never do.
Well, Carl, in fairness, they're comparing it to the journalistic skills exhibited by Sean Hannity when he would interview Dick Cheney on that haystack during the last election.
Yes.
And there were tough questions like, how can we help you better win re-election?
Right. Well,
could you be more awesome than
you
already are?
That was the worst question.
It was more of a big wet kiss.
All right, last one. Stuart Varney.
High gas prices? You blame the oil companies and you tax them.
Yeah.
The economy's a bit sluggish? You blame the banks because they won't lend. Regulate them. You've got high drug prices? Blame the drug companies blame them and tax them some more. But what you've got to do at all costs is shield your record. Blame somebody else when failure is all around you.
And
that's what the president's doing.
And as an American, I'm appalled. That is failures. That is refusing.
Or, you know, blame somebody else when they're successful around you. I'm just curious. By the poll of the studio, would anybody like to join me at Stuart Varney's apartment so we can throw his tea into the ocean?
Sounds great.
All right, Carl Frisch, see you next week. Don't forget to powder.
Have a good one.
All right, bye-bye now. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Fight the power! Fight the power! Fight the power! We're back to fight the power, Stephanie!
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Representative Barbara Lee, awesome, of the great state of California, next hour. Along with Angelo Carasone of Stop Beck and Stop Rush, and Representative Karen Bass.
That's terrific, Bass.
We already did that joke. It's only required once by the
General
FCC.
Francisco Franco is still dead.
We only did it for the current TV rehearsal. We didn't do it for the public.
Oh, you see?
See what I did there?
Well, yeah. What's the point of saying anything if it's not on TV?
Exactly.
25 minutes after the hour. Speaking of Mitch, I may be on Jennifer Granholm's show tonight on Current.
Really?
Yes. It's almost my bedtime, so.
I know.
So.
I may be asleepy, but we'll send an e-blast if I am.
Yep.
All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh,
so the war room will be the whore room, briefly.
Jim?
So what?
Well, when Stephanie is in it, yes.
Stop it.
The slut
room? She's the former governor.
I didn't mean her.
Yeah.
Just when she finished classing up the joint, they hire me.
Only you make it the whore room, Stephanie.
Exactly my point. All right. Oh, you're just saying that to be sweet. All right. This Republican field, they are just the gang that can't shoot straight. The headline was, establishment starts to coalesce behind Romney. The Republican establishment started to coalesce around Mitt Romney in earnest on Wednesday. Jeb Bush, other leading Republicans, pressuring Rick Santorum to leave the race. But then, sexy liberals activate. John Fielding. asks an innocent question on what should have been a triumphant day. Romney found himself trying to defend his conservative credentials anew after one of his top advisors quipped that the GOP frontrunner's policy positions are almost like an etch-a-sketch.
Hey, kids, it's new. The new product line from Republico, makers of the Mitt Romney Etch-a-Sketch. Now that you've had hours of fun drawing trees, lakes, and cars on your Mitt Romney Etch-a-Sketch, why not get the whole collection of Republico toys? Scare every kid on your block with the Newt Gingrich Creepy Crawler Machine. It makes a wide variety of pale, fat vermin that are wiggly and squiggly that are sure to make all your pals say,
yuck.
Be sure to pick up the latest volume of Ron Paul Mad Libs. Come up with crazy sentences using nouns like the gold standard and the Fed. You'll laugh and laugh. And Republico is proud to announce our latest and greatest invention yet. Rick Santorum's Slime and Silly Spray. It sticks to most any surface and comes in a wide variety of colors, such as tan, light brown, darkish brown, tan, and cornflecked. So what are you waiting for, kids? Tell your folks you want toys made by Republico, maker of the Mitt Romney Etch-a-Sketch, and silly stuff.
I like silly stuff.
Thank you, Ken in Cleveland. Listener Ken in Cleveland.
Yes, Kenny Pick.
What, no monster magnet?
It gives Jim his, you know, bi-monthly opportunity to say corn.
Corn?
Corn? When did I eat corn?
Okay. What? All right.
Scrapple. When did I eat scrapple?
Didn't you have Hard Drinking Lincoln say that?
Was, yes. Yeah.
Romney's opponents and Democrats pounced, and by day's end, his Republican opponents were waving the Etch-a-Sketches at campaign events in Louisiana.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Mocking mittens openly.
Well, yeah. Newt Gingrich gave one to a little girl and said, now she can be a presidential candidate.
Oh, mittens.
I mean,
when... Just when things were starting to... Don't you just feel like he's just going to, like, right when he gets to the finish line, somebody will have tied his shoelaces together and he'll just... Yeah. I don't... up by a sexy liberal.
When Newt Gingrich gets off a good one against it, you know you really, really screwed up.
Yeah, something's really gone awry. And it was, of course, supposed to be the big news, but the endorsement from Bush, son of one president, brother of another, Jebby, yesterday. Jebby.
I think, though, it's important for the candidates to recognize, though, that they have to appeal to primary voters and not turn off independent voters that will be part of a winning coalition.
Hey, maybe Jebby's the one that gave him the Etch-a-Sketch line, thinking it was clever.
Oh,
another Bush screws up another presidency.
Yeah, think about it. Mitt Romney looks an awful lot like Major Matt Mason, who came out in 1967. I'm looking at a 60s toys timeline.
Awesome.
Same year that...
He went to his Republico toys section.
Same year that Feely Meely came out.
Huh?
Sounds like a bad...
We'll talk about that after the break. 29 minutes after the
hour. Was that put out by the Catholic Church?
Probably.
Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Trust me, she ain't what she used to be, all right? Once you get those pants off, it's like two sagging pressed hams and a slice of pizza. Oh.
Wow.
Martin, I go to spinning every day. Just like Rush Limbaugh. 34 minutes after the hour. Ew. 1-800.
Yes, you knew also.
I've been asked for radio.
Yeah. You also take the stairs when you could take the elevator.
Yes, yeah, and I got
when
in
you're
the...
Gonna trip with your Uggs coming up.
I take the stairs. There's no reason to take an elevator
exactly,
one flight of stairs.
Except I tripped once, and that was enough.
That was it for him. We got in the parking lot at the same time, and I'm like, really? You took an elevator one floor? All right. I got there before
you. I know,
because
you wanted to burn off two more calories.
Yeah, I got there before you. Got there like 10 seconds before you.
Yeah.
All right. And yet, only 5 seconds before we were due to go on air at Current.
Yeah. Kind of threw the people at Current into a tizzy.
Psych.
Yeah.
Okay. No. You'll need to come to my house earlier than you normally do. Pull me off the heating grate.
Yep.
Sober me up. Get some coffee in me.
Well, now they're going to see the little waffle marks on the side of your face from the heating grate.
Right?
In high def.
Yeah.
Mm. Awesome. Well. All right, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere to join the big party. So, Romney... I just love this headline created by a sexy liberal. Romney says he's no Etch-a-Sketch. John, how many times can we play this bit? I think not enough. Now, was he filling in for Soledad O'Brien
yesterday? No, he was on the panel. Soledad usually has a panel every day, and they allowed him to ask a question. And
right, because he had told us Friday he was going to be on Soledad O'Brien
right.
all week, but this was just awesome. So it was, and we played this yesterday during the show because people sent it to us immediately. They were like, breaking John Fugelsang news. I'm like, oh, no, is he finally snapped from new daddy sleep deprivation? Is he on a building somewhere with... But no, he created news on CNN. Here
Good morning, sir. It's fair to say that John McCain was considerably a more moderate candidate than the ones that Governor Romney faces now. Is there a concern that the pressure from Santorum and Gingrich might force the governor to tack so far to the right it would hurt him with moderate voters in the general election?
Well, I think he hit a reset button for the fall campaign. Everything changes. It's almost like an Etch-a-Sketch. You can kind of shake it up and we start all over again.
Wow. We have to ask John tomorrow. Did he realize in that moment what he had just created? Did he just go?
His eyes probably got really wise. I didn't just say that.
Oh, no.
I think Bush should have been, if we're talking toys, Chester O'Chimp, the talking chimp. That
yes.
was for him. And, of course, the chocolate factory by M&E, you can tell. Well, never mind.
All right.
Dude.
I was just going to say.
Honestly. Jim Louise.
Santorum.
He's just getting this all out of his system before Monday. I'm sure he'll be completely appropriate by then.
Oh, here's the Feely Mealy game. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
All right, let's move on. Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney tried Wednesday to shake accusations he's an inconsistent conservative after a top advisor compared to Etch-a-Sketch toy. Oh, dear. Here's Mittens yesterday.
I can tell you this. When the campaign moves to becoming a general election campaign, the nature of the campaign itself in terms of staff, funding, the states we would go to will be different than today. Today, obviously, it's a much larger campaign. The issues I'm running on will be exactly the same. I'm running as a conservative Republican. I was a conservative Republican governor. I'll be running as a conservative Republican nominee, or should be at that point, hopefully, nominee for president. The policies and positions are the same.
He seemed so authentic, didn't he?
Wow. Mm.
Well, that sort of puts that issue to rest.
Same as it ever was. Same as it ever was.
Yes. I love this. Where is this Associated Press version of the story? The episode likely to dog Romney.
You think?
Oh, bad choice of words there.
As much as Seamus.
Not as much as the dog story.
Yeah.
It was... So this is... he did not... By the way, the advisor, what's his name? Eric Fernstrom?
Sure.
Something like that. He did not try to take his back his words when asked to clarify them. He said only that the general election is a different race with different candidates, and the main issue now becomes President Obama. Okay. Newt Gingrich, by the way, I love the it's described his opponents were almost nearly giddy, positively giddy over Newt Gingrich said, my children had Etch-a-Sketches. They were great for car rides, but you'll notice that their pictures aren't permanent. Their pictures aren't locked down. You can redo it anytime you want. That's the problem. Gingrich,
thanks for explaining an Etch-a-Sketch to us.
That's Mitt Romney's job to explain things like pancakes. This is a pancake.
These are pancakes. I didn't know if he knew that.
That is a tree.
Who doesn't know what an Etch-a-Sketch is or does?
Thanks, Newt. Okay. Here's Governor Romney's staff. He said, they don't even have the decency to wait until they get the nomination to explain to us how they'll sell us out. I think having an Etch-a-Sketch as your campaign model raises every doubt about where we're going. Rick Santorum, when Rick Santorum, you know, jumps on you, you got trouble. He stopped at a toy store in Louisiana to buy one, brought it to the campaign event. He said Governor Romney's campaign had a real moment of truth today. It actually revealed what everybody knew or suspected, but now know. Governor Romney is interested in saying whatever is necessary to win the election, and when the game changes, he'll
erase,
change.
Erase, erase, erase. Erase, erase, erase.
Erase, erase.
You're not looking for someone who's the Etch-a-Sketch candidate. You're looking for someone who writes what they believe in stone and stays true to what they say.
You want someone who wants to... Was it Foster Freeze?
Wow. He urged his voters in Louisiana, which holds its primary Saturday, to pick a candidate who stands firmly on the rocks of freedom, not on the sands of an Etch-a-Sketch toy. Wow.
Wow.
This is going to be the... It's going to be, I don't know how long.
It's a meme.
Unless, you know, it turns to foreign policy and then someone will be the battleship candidate.
Okay. G4.
You sunk
That's
my battleship.
That's John McCain, you bag of ash. It's my territory.
Rick Santorum again.
Remove all trace of any kind of marks and be able to draw a new picture.
Maybe a picture similar to when he ran for governor of Massachusetts, not as a conservative.
By the way, I love this this part of the story on the AP. Meanwhile, at a town hall-style meeting at an American Legion post in Baltimore, Romney said nothing about the dust-up, but he changed his mind.
Yeah.
Oh, so he flip-flopped about the flip-flopping comment. He changed his mind after the event tried to put it to rest.
Oh, wow.
Wow. He flip-flopped on whether he should answer about the latest flip-flopping charge. So as reporters arrived for Santorum's event, his press secretary handed them miniature Etch-A-Sketches, a sign that the toy will likely remain part of the campaign.
Okay, then.
The Democratic Party already had ads out yesterday featuring an Etch-A-Sketch in Mitt Romney.
Oh, it's awesome.
It's amazing how fast they get these things
awesome.
Out here.
And I finally watched the Will of Real Mitt Romney stand up, and even that's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
Because especially when all the Mitt heads split.
Yeah.
I'm the real Mitt. All those other Mitts are just masturbating.
Don't look for him. Don't look at him. He's phony. That one's phonier.
Oh,
they're all phony.
God.
I'm the real one. No, I'm the real one.
No.
I'm Spartacus.
Uh-uh.
No, I'm Spartacus.
I'm Bono. No, I'm Bono.
All right. Rick Santorum yesterday.
They should all start supporting me because I'm the strong conservative candidate, and I'm hopeful that, as we've seen in every state, you know, all the endorsers, the establishment, you know, who is comfortable with the status quo, go with Mitt Romney. And the folks who want to see the real changes going on in Washington, D.C., support me. And I think that's what this race is coming down to.
Here's his toy, the Frosty Freeze Ice Creamer. Make it yourself in seconds. I'm obsessed with
Foster
60s
Freeze.
Toys.
Yeah.
Come on, kids. Let's all go to the Foster Freeze. by the way, his campaign sent an email to reporters calling the comments shocking. Not really.
No.
Right.
One of his
utterly
people just slipped and said the truth. It's not really shocking for someone to say, by the way, Mitt Romney has no core principles. Not really.
And it was crystallized in the most perfect way.
Yes.
You know, because everybody knows what an Etch-A-Sketch does. It was just so perfect.
Perfect, perfect. We couldn't. Thank you. Nicely done. We couldn't have thought of a better.
Well played.
Well played, sir. We couldn't have thought of a better analogy ourselves.
And the Etch-A-Sketch moves at right angles, either horizontal or vertical.
Yeah.
You've got.
Yeah.
So that's.
Well, he thinks there's no electronic devices that actually record the things he said. He thinks you can just. Everything's gone now.
Erase it.
Everything's gone.
Yeah.
And there is no health care plan anymore in Massachusetts. There's nothing.
Massa who?
Huh?
Never heard
Massa
of
Massa what?
He's a bulk eraser.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, did you see the latest poll out of Massachusetts showing Obama beating the bejesus out of Mitt Romney in Massachusetts?
Wow. Where he was governor. Yeah.
Yikes.
That tells you everything you need to know.
Uh-huh.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. All right. Rick Santorum on the very same subject.
He will say what he needs to say to win the election that's before him. And if he has to say something different, because it's a different election and a different group of voters, he's willing to say that too.
Mm-hmm. Yes. There you go. I think our work is done here.
I think we can
just shut off the lights and just lay in the hammock.
Yep.
Till the general, don't you think?
I think so.
All right. They were also going after the president yesterday for. By the way, wait. I have to do one more story about Frothy. Did you see the Dan Savage thing? He can pray for me. I'll gay for him.
No.
Real Clear Religion posted an interview. I'm guessing the religion probably actually not that clear on Real Clear Religion.
No.
They posted an interview with Rick Santorum in which a reporter asked him about Dan Savage. He's the one who created,
Santorum, the Google problem.
Yes, the Google problem. By holding a contest in 2003 to redefine the word Santorum after he compared gay sex to man on dog sex. Asked what he'd say to Savage if the two met, Santorum replied, I would tell him I'd be praying for him.
Thanks.
What a sanctimonious little.
Unctuous little twerp.
Nozzle. He obviously has some serious issues. You can look at someone like that. He normally saves this level of patronization for women, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He obviously has some serious issues. You look at someone like that who can say and do the things he's doing, and you just pray for him, and hopefully he can find peace.
Hopefully he can be de-gayed.
Yes.
Hmm.
They emailed Savage for a response. Dan Savage wrote, Rick Santorum thinks that women who've been raped should be compelled by force of law to carry the babies of the rapist to term. He thinks birth control should be illegal. He wants to prosecute pornographers, et cetera, et cetera. Basically, the guy wants to be president so he can micromanage the sex lives of all Americans, and I'm the one with issues? Because I made a dirty joke at his expense 8 or 9 years ago, and it stuck? I'm the one with issues? Okay.
Yeah.
Rick can pray for me. I'll gay for him. We'll call it even.
Hooray!
pay for me, won't you? 45.
That is micromanaging the sex lives of all Americans.
That's small government for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Government's small enough to fit in your hoo-ha. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
All the time, bitch.
Good.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, good. Help is on the way. The lighting guy from Kern is coming during the show today.
Yep.
To tweak the lighting, to put the colorful scarves over the lamps, to soften the lighting for Mama. Fabulous. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free.
It's a little bright in here. We're not used to that in radio.
No.
Do we have any Vaseline for the lenses?
It's the quote of the year, Chris Lavoie. You shouldn't have to squint to do radio. All right, Kenneth, and I'm just going to, it doesn't matter what they do, I'm just going to shut the lights off and wear a miner's helmet anyway.
No, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, Kenneth, that'll make you look good on TV.
Kenneth in Chicago, you won't be able to see me.
Yeah.
Kenneth in Chicago, hello, Ken.
Good morning. I just wanted to say with the Etch-a-Sketch situation, I don't really have a problem with politicians pandering. I mean, I remember Barack Obama going to San Francisco and railing against Bibles and clinging to their guns thing, and then
he didn't rail. He made one offhand comment that was not on.
That's not railing.
I'm just saying back, but in the election, in the main election, he was all sorts of going to Christian places and talking to Christians. I mean, it was he went to the evangelical.
He is Christian. You know that.
Now, okay.
Kenneth,
what do you mean? If you say so?
Here we go.
No, I want to go into Trayvon. I think every single person should support what Al Sharpton is doing in this movement in Florida. I'm a gun owner. I'm a conservative. I have concealed carry permit in that state. What happened to Trayvon was injustice.
Thank you.
He needs every single one of us that has time to go to Florida to walk side by side in calling for justice for this young man. I'm absolutely horrified as a parent.
Ken, wait. You're obviously a responsible gun owner. Let's go back to that comment the president made. It wasn't on stage. It was caught off mic, which we're all, caught sometimes. Believe me, even this morning I've been caught off mic.
Yes, you have.
Is there something he said that's that outrageous? Don't sometimes people cling to their guns or religion or whatever it is they cling to when times are hard, when they get scared? For me, it's Chardonnay.
I don't want to talk about categorizing who is a Christian and who isn't. I just think the comment was pandering to a leftist situation, and that's what you do when you're trying to get a coalition to get yourself elected. That's what politicians do. And I think the whole Etch-a-Sketch thing. If I was Romney, I'd walk out on stage today with an Etch-a-Sketch in my hand.
So would I. Absolutely.
He has such a way with comedy and prop humor. So yeah, that may work for him.
But with Trayvon, I mean, my heart is just broken. I mean, this is a family whose life is shattered. I want to know what's happening in Chicago for this 6-year-old girl shot and killed on her porch by a gang member. I mean, we need to go after these people who kill people. And I don't like blaming the left. Blame the person and where their mindset is. This guy called 911 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 times. There's something wrong with him.
Right. Well,
this is
a
person who should have never been in a position to have a gun in his hand.
Right.
And Trayvon needs justice.
Yeah. Some things with as much as we've seen some ugly racism in regards to, either the president or in general lately, it's people like you that give me hope that there are some things that it just transcends race. That is a thing that it could be your son, could be your brother, could be, I mean, it is just our basic sense of fairness that, I mean, first of all, why hasn't this, whoever the head of the police department been fired? I mean, why hasn't this guy been arrested?
Exactly.
Well, we don't know what the facts are, what this person, Zimmerman, said. He could have said, boy said this and went for his iced tea. I mean.
Right, but he's on the girlfriend's cell phone. I mean, he didn't even talk to the girlfriend on the conversation that was happening.
Shoddy police work going on there.
If I could get down to Florida and march with Al Sharpton, who I probably wouldn't even walk across the street to say hi to, I'm so totally committed to Trayvon in this. It's something that has just got me brokenhearted. Not outraged as in flying off the handle, outrage. Outrage is in my heart is shattered for this young man who turns around and says, why are you following me? And gets shot.
Let me ask you something, Kenneth. As a gun owner, what do you think about this law? Because isn't that a part of it? Isn't that just an irresponsible gun law?
It's a solid law. He walked away. This guy's traveling. He's following Savon. He's not in his house. He's not on his property. He's not feeling. There's no danger to Zimmerman. Everything is wrong here, and Trayvon deserves 100% justice.
So,
go ahead, Jim.
Would you agree that there's some people who shouldn't be allowed to have firearms? Some people who are just mentally unstable. I mean,
yeah,
Second Amendment.
Yeah, they you're supposed to go through very serious training, and I think the training should be tied to the gun stores, and that the gun stores should be held accountable for how they do their trainings. Not the gun stores, but the training
but
department.
Right, but Kenneth, isn't it partially this law that has led to him not being arrested, and as Jim has pointed out before, and the kid being drug tested, and not the guy that
shot
him?
Because Zimmerman claimed he was acting in self-defense.
There are hundreds of thousands of people that have guns in Florida that, I mean, if you look at the odds of how many
but
people
But do you
have
think it's reasonable to have a law that says if someone looks at you funny, you have a right to use, you know, lethal force?
That's not how the law reads. That's not how the law reads. I printed it out last night.
What does stand your ground mean, exactly? It means you don't need to retreat.
But if you feel threatened.
Yes.
Yes. If you read the law, it's not a bad law. Now all of a sudden it's politics. Now the left is going to take this as an assault on the Second Amendment, assault on gun owners' rights and all this stuff, and it's ridiculous.
No, I am for reasonable gun laws. This is not a reasonable gun law. Allowing people to bring their guns into bars and workplaces, it's just a stupid gun law.
That's your opinion. I don't want to go after the laws. I want to go after Zimmerman.
Murdered. I think you got to look at all the elements, don't you? I mean, and the other thing is, you know, they ignored this blatant racism in the 911 call. He obviously felt threatened by anyone black. Is what the history of this is. So
that's what I'm talking about. A certain person should not be followed down the street because they're African American. That's just everything's wrong here. Everything is wrong, and Trayvon deserves.
Right, but Jim is saying the law is anybody that you feel threatened by. This guy is obviously a racist that felt threatened by anybody that was black in his neighborhood.
That's absolutely not what the law reads, and it's ridiculous to characterize it.
How does the law read?
It's on your property. On your property. If you feel threatened, on your property. Not walking down the street. If somebody leaves your property, the law is over. You cannot follow the person down the road. And then this is not the Old West. This is not.
Look, all I'm telling you is other legal experts have said this may immunize Zimmerman from prosecution. This particular law.
Unfortunately.
When Governor John Scott, or what's his name, Scott, Rick Scott, is saying we may need to relook at this law. This is a Republican saying this may be part of the problem. But Ken, I appreciate your call.
Political, and that's political pandering. So let's
it's not. Not
oh,
yeah, because Rick Scott does so much of that. He's so concerned with what the liberals think.
Yeah.
By the way, not as another current TV suck-up, but Cenk, who will be live in studio with us
on Monday. Cool.
Here's what I love about what Curran is doing. So he aired the 911 call uncensored with the racial slur in it because...
And the F-word.
Well, but that's because that's part of how the media sort of plays down everything and makes it the same, except at current TV. I'm just saying, so we'll talk about that when we get back, because it's really important. And, I guess the police missed that. Oops. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website, SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Go get those last few remaining. They're probably gone for Albuquerque because Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang made the Etch-A-Sketch news yesterday.
Yeah.
Sexy liberal now creating the news and commenting on the news and mocking the news. All right, 1-800, and Mitt Romney will have time to say 75 more awkward things before March 31st in Albuquerque.
I am the most awkward man in the world.
Yes, you are. All right, you can email us at the regular old site, executive producer Crystal Boy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller, like Mike did, about Catholic girls. We got into Catholic, well, we didn't get into Catholic girls. We were talking about Catholic girls yesterday, Jim.
Yeah, we don't get into Catholic girls.
I was talking about being an ex-Catholic girl.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of guys have that fantasy, which I don't, not if you'd seen me, because I had a big plaid jumper and an afro and
not the jumper, the
and gray
short
fangs.
Skirts and the, outfit.
Okay.
So you didn't look like Britney Spears?
I'll bring a picture of me. That'll get him over that.
Because Britney Spears did that video where she was in the slutty Catholic girls.
Sure. Yeah. Yes.
That's the one.
Chris, could you take your organ out? Mike. Worships at the altar of ex-Catholic girls. Steph, I love Catholic girls. My first sexual experience was with a high school Catholic girl. She was sick and tired of the BS shoved down her throat.
Beg your pardon? What?
She could not wait to break free. I married a recovering Catholic woman, and she is a freak in the bed. I love it, and I love her. Oh, that is so sweet. You see what I'm saying? Because she's the lead. Yeah.
Drink, you the one to please.
She's like mama.
Fill cups like double D. Yeah. Me and us much more when we leave them dead. We want a lady in the street, but a freak in the bed.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Ex-Catholic girls unite.
Did you do that thing where you rolled up your waistband to make your skirt shorter?
Yeah, because your mom would not, cooperate with your slutty look. And so you would have to do it on the way to the bus stop. You'd have to roll it up to make your shirt squirt. But then you looked like you had an inner tube around your waist.
Right.
So that kind of ruined the whole sexy
the whole illusion?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Did you expect your mom to help with your slutty look?
No.
Okay.
No, she was no help. Michael in Los Angeles on the Isn't It Ironic file on the Etch-A-Sketch comment. Hello,
isn't
Michael.
It ironic? I really don't know if you guys realize this. Etch-A-Sketch is made 100% in China.
In China,
in China where all the jobs are that Mitt Romney sent over there.
I have yet to find out if Bain Capital actually did that, but that's enough irony for me.
Well, I think, I mean, they were being created in the United States, and I seem to recall that Walmart said they will not sell them unless they move their operations to China.
Oh,
I
awesome.
Think that's,
Walmart.
I think that
uniquely American.
It's something to do with Walmart, but I don't remember the exact.
That would be funny if Bain Capital bought Etch-A-Sketch, and that's why they're made in China now. Oh, dear.
Wow, that's just so typical.
Oh, mittens. All right. We were talking about the Trayvon Martin shooting and with a right wing caller, a gun owner who
I got him to admit that not everyone should be allowed to have a gun.
Yeah.
I mean,
by the way, how awesome was the Million Hoodie March in New York?
Yeah.
There was a lot of people showed up, and a lot of because people, again, it sort of crosses racial lines. Because everybody has. And how cute is that? It was that kid. You know what I mean? It's just, it could happen to anybody. He has a box of Skittles. He's talking to his girlfriend on the cell phone.
But he looked threatening to this guy.
Yes, because he was walking while black, apparently, in this guy's neighborhood. Anyway, so Cenk, who will join us from the Young Turks, will join us live in studio Monday for our current debut. This is what I love about what I was saying. What Curran's doing is it's just, you won't see this in the corporate structure, and it goes to the crux of the stories. He aired I can't do it here. And he used a racial slur, the C word, a different C word, the racial slur that was on the 911 call. I hadn't heard about that anywhere else, had you?
No.
I mean, blah, blah, blah. So they, it was uncensored audio of the 911 call that many are convinced features George Zimmerman muttering.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's the problem is you don't know what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
Which is why
the whole thing.
It was
Cenk
a racial
epithet. Exactly. Minutes before he shot and killed Trayvon Martin. Cenk said, we had a long discussion about whether to run it unedited. Ultimately, we thought the newsworthiness of it mattered more than the fact that it was a profanity. And I agree. He said, I don't think you have to be gratuitous about how many times you play it. And we only ran it unedited once on the TV show, but I don't think it's right to leave the audience out of the loop hearing the tape for themselves.
Right.
Because it certainly is a huge part of this, are the previous zillion calls to 911 where he says there's a black guy.
Like 56 times he was going after?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, the operator was like, oh, hi, George.
You again.
Yeah. I mean, hello, I'm not Columbo, but that's not relevant somehow to this whole, I mean, it's just that it's... it goes to the very heart of this tragedy. Let's go to Odette in Virginia. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Odette.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
I was thinking about Trayvon Martin last night, and I started to make a correlation between him and Martin Luther King. Aside from the name Martin that they share, first name or last name for with either one,
yeah.
They were both gunned down, you know, for, you know, senselessly, and they also both have sparked this movement for justice that have brought people of all races and ages and genders, you know, together to fight for justice. So, you know, I just that just came to me last night. I was like, that's kind of, you know, ironic.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, I think it's also interesting. We're in the middle of a lot of really blatant racist stuff about this president, including this bumper sticker that I'm sure you've seen.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
I mean, it, you know, that's the thing is you think, God, we all remember how hopeful we all felt after the president was elected. And you think, oh, my God, we are finally in a post-racial America. And
not quite.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just a skosh short, apparently. Yeah. Let's go to Flo in Sunrise, California. Hey, Flo.
Hi, Stephanie.
Sunrise, Florida.
Yes,
oh, she's in Florida.
That's what I said.
California, you said.
Oh, I'm sorry, Florida.
Yeah, when I first came to Florida about 17 years ago, the apartment was chosen by my daughter. We were up north trying to sell our house, so we just got down there. It was nighttime, and we were near the Intercoastal. It's gorgeous. There's beautiful homes there, owned by corporations, a lot of them. So I looked out across the waterway, and there was a huge, gigantic Confederate flag. And instantly I knew what kind of climate I was going to be in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, yes. Now I can. I mean, there's an article in the, where was it, Christian Science Monitor, anti-Obama slogans with racist slants on the rise in election 2012. And it's a whole interesting analysis of why, because they really have kind of dispensed with the dog whistles.
Yep,
I mean, you know, when you have a bumper sticker that says don't renege in 2012 and it's a bestseller, like, really? That's where we're going in this election cycle?
I think they figure the dog whistles didn't work in the last election, so they're just going all out.
Being too subtle.
Pure racism this election.
Yeah, Smitty.
Maybe they'll attack Fort Sumter again. That'd be subtle.
Smitty in California. Hey, Smitty.
Hey, this Trayvon Martin shooting and the Stand Your Law or Stand Your Ground law is bigger than people realize. There's been over 75 shootings in Florida that have come under this law. They've not been able to get one conviction, and you can't even get information about it. I mean, it's like they won't even press charges. The police won't do any forensics.
Wow.
This is like open season.
Smitty, it's like when Gabrielle Giffords was shot, and they just immediately screamed, that's nothing to do with guns. That's nothing to do with gun laws. It's like, really? That's not part of it? That's not part of how we look at who can get guns? Like Jared Loughner? Go ahead.
But more than that, I mean, this stand your it's not even the get a gun. It's the fact that I can shoot you and claim that I felt threatened and walk. I mean, this is like a legalized murder law.
Who could have seen that coming? That there would lead to some rash incidences of violence.
Anybody with basic knowledge of the law would tell you that this is going to be open season, and that now you could see them trying to reboot this. Oh, no, it's not the Stand Your Ground law. They're terrified this is going to be used against them.
Yep,
and
yep.
Now it's ironic that the day that Jeb Bush announces his support.
Yeah, who's responsible for this law coming into being? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, this is basically this Stand Your Ground law is basically legalizing white hoods and burning crosses in a sense. I mean, this is you could still be for the Second Amendment. You could still allow people to carry concealed weapons, but to allow people to shoot somebody like this and not even do forensics.
Yeah.
All right, that tells you this is like what happened in Greensboro, North Carolina back in the early 70s.
Yep, Ty in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Ty.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
I was calling in response to the conservative person that called earlier about saying that you can only defend somebody in your residence. He's actually referring to the Castle Doctrine Law. The Stand Your Ground Law is an expansion of that, so it gives a widened latitude to not only protect their residence, but a residence they were invited into, a dwelling, a vehicle. I actually have the law up, and I'm reading it. Yeah. And it's not only yourself. It's if you feel great bodily harm or death, or fear of death, to yourself or to another person as well. So it's, it expands.
So if you're scared of anything, you're allowed to shoot anybody.
Right.
I'm reading online here. No longer must you take the risk of retreating from an attacker before protecting yourself. The protection given by the law is the highest protection. It permits you to stand your ground anytime, anywhere you are attacked.
Right.
So it's not just on your property
or where you
right.
You know, it's almost, Ty, like it seems like some right-wingers call with deliberate misinformation on the certain gun laws to scare people about the scary black president coming to take your guns or something like that.
I think that's right. Even though the scary black president increased their gun laws, like gun laws, they can take their guns into parks now. So
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Jim, we were exactly right. I didn't have it in front of me in that instant, but I was like, no, that's not incorrect.
That's
it is not,
the law.
Only in your house. And
it's anytime, anywhere in the state of Florida.
And the other thing to me, the crux of it that seems to be crazy is the deadly force thing. It's like, let's like give Zimmerman way more of the benefit of the doubt than you need. Okay, you feel threatened. Can't you, you can shoot someone in the leg if you think he's threatened. Like, deadly force. He shot this kid dead that was running away from him. I mean, you know.
Well, they say he was shot in the chest. I suspect he was shot in the back.
Yeah.
That may be inaccurate.
Yeah.
Because he was probably running away from him at the time.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I think he took, according to the call with his girlfriend, he turned around to say, why are you following me? So it's, you know. Anyway, either way. All right, much more on that. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Do you like it?
It's brilliant.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Mike in Arlington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Steph. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, quick question for you. You know, whenever you have any of these people on from, like, Hollywood and stuff like that, don't you kind of find it ironic that, like, the Tom Cruises of the world make so much more than, like, the grips on the set? So whenever we're
when did we have Tom Cruise on? I must have missed that.
Well, yeah, when did I book Tom Cruise?
Wow.
But I'm just saying, like, again,
good job,
you know, whenever
Rebecca.
You have a lot of these people from that particular area, you know, you come in contact with a lot of people from the left, you know, that are in, let's say, Hollywood.
Yes.
And then the thing I'm always fascinated about is they always bitch about outsourcing. And I'm like, every time I turn around, all these television shows are made in Vancouver because they're saying that California Hollywood's too expensive.
Ah, okay.
Let me answer your first point. People don't go to the movies to see what the grip has done. People go to the movies to see Tom Cruise. That's why Tom Cruise gets paid more.
Would you realistically?
The guy's running a company and he's doing a good job. Shouldn't he get paid more too?
Right, but wouldn't you would realistically expect a grip to make the same as Tom Cruise on a movie?
No. I'm just saying, like,
that's
they use
kind of what you're suggesting. We should think
that we're being hypocrites if we don't think that.
No, what I'm saying is if the ratio between a factory worker and the CEO is, let's say, 20 times that rate, shouldn't in Hollywood you should see something similar too?
No.
They're not the same industries.
Well, I mean...
For instance, I'm a liberal and I pay these two a pittance.
Yeah, right. I live in a van down by the river.
Yeah. All right. Let's... Oh, she got me. Okay.
People don't...
All right.
See a movie because the lighting designer is
right.
Exactly. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, they're two completely different industries. That's really apples and some fruit nobody's ever heard
and
of.
There's a huge disparity in income between the star and the rank and file.
By the way, not to say you two don't have value. I'm just saying that the show can only have one name.
That's
Stephanie
true.
Miller.
Thank you, Jim.
It's not the Stephanie Miller, Jim Ward, and Chris Lavoie show.
That's so I can pay you enough to live in a van down by the river.
That's right. It's a tastefully appointed van.
I ain't no dummy.
Yeah.
Peter in California, or Chicago. Hi, Peter.
Hey, Steph. Love you.
Thank you.
Hey, I've got the real story on that Ohio company that makes Etch-a-Sketch. Walmart did come to them a couple years ago and said, hey, we want to keep you selling your stuff, but in order to do it, we are only going to pay you a specific price.
Uh-huh.
So the owner of this company said, well, I can't do that in Ohio. I can't keep my company open. If I don't have toys on the shelf at Walmart, I have to close up shop. So he was forced to go over to China in order to keep the doors open for his family.
Yeah, all right, honey. Thank you for that. Thank you, Walmart. Thanks a lot. By the way, and Walmart also saves money, Jim, by the amount of people apparently they have working there, since we did the story a couple of weeks ago about the woman that was making crystal meth in a aisle at Walmart for 4 hours before they found her, before they caught her.
Wow.
What you doing?
Oh, okay.
Can I help
Eating
you?
Some food, making some meth. Why?
Let me know if you need any help with that.
It must be really hard to find help at Walmart.
Believe me, it is.
Paul in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Paul.
Hey, good morning, guys. Real quick, Mooks, I'll try to make this as brief and concise as possible.
Yes.
I've been a firearms instructor. I've taught many people. You know, I've taught the self-defense part. The castle, the young lady on before and the gentleman before, the castle doctrine is true. It was designed to have where if someone broke into your house or you're at the ATM or you're coming from the store, as you're getting into the car, to defend your person and property. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But it has been, as Chris was saying, the stand your ground law now has it where, and I believe Zimmerman is wrong. He needs to be crucified, point blank. I've taught CCWs and things of that nature where, you know, I have people have sat in my class and I go, you know what, you don't need a firearm, point blank, you know. But that's what it needs to be brought out, is that these people that are getting these CCWs, there needs to be a greater in-depth look at who these individuals are. A Zimmerman case, I mean, he had a police record with battery on a police officer.
Thank you.
And he got it expunged to get a CCW.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
and,
I mean,
right.
And
Paul, you can't also rule out the racial angle of it. This had been the other way around. If a black kid had shot a white guy like this, I mean, give me a break. You don't think that's part of it. Kevin in Palm Springs, real quick. Hey, Kev.
Yeah, it's so blatant, the Trayvon case. It's just ridiculous. You know, that's what Republicans and conservatives sell. That's their stock and trade. They sell fear and they sell anger, and that's how they get elected. And people who buy into that are just like lemmings that follow along and give them their power. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, when we come back, we'll do the headline in Glenn Beck's The Blaze, Chris?
Yep.
Do we know Trayvon Martin wasn't an arsonist kidnapper?
Yeah.
Yeah,
we know. We do. Why are they asking that question?
Because he's black.
Exactly.
We're just asking. Some say. 29 minutes.
Some people say the Blaze is racist.
Mm-hmm.
29
minutes. And they'd be right.
29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You can't hide from the IRS. They're everywhere.
Oh, dear.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. I was just spooning with associate producer, screener Rebecca Taylor.
She let you do that? Usually she bites and scratches.
I know. I didn't give her. She's like a feral cat.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
She's as cuddly as a feral cat. Yeah, no, I just was saying, I know. I said, I know it's a lot of extra stress and pressure and work, the current TV thing. I said, don't worry, I'll get us fired soon.
Great.
It's me. How long does this last? Relax.
And so Lou, the lighting guy in here, is doing all this work for nothing.
Wouldn't put any in permanent lights, Lou. Okay.
Wait till he's still got his Jensen's Irish whiskey hat left over from St. Pat's Day.
Wait till you get the green light.
Yeah.
All right. So we've been talking about the Trayvon Martin shooting. And, you know, this is what we were talking about. Is there obviously can be reasonable gun laws. And the problem is the NRA... they've avoided discussing this, of course, entirely.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2005, they were breezily dismissing concerns about the Stand Your Ground legislation. Apparently, all of us were crazy.
We thought
anything might go awry with a law like that. Yeah, it has nothing to do. I love that they just take that part out of every problem.
Right.
The guns have absolutely nothing to do with any part of the problem.
Or even ammo clips. With Loughner, they're saying, oh, it wouldn't have made any difference. Yeah, it would.
Yes.
When
well,
he had to reload, that's when they tackled
that's
it.
That's the Lawrence O'Donnell phone that turned me straight for a minute.
If he'd had
I blame the gun
bullets
for the
instead of 15, right?
Right. How'd the promo go? I blame the, I don't know, it's his eyes get blue.
I blame
and that one vein throbs and it makes me hot. You know,
blame the killer for the first.
Right. And I blame the gun for the next
not
15
right. The
shots.
Manufacturers.
Now it's going to be jink promos that make you hot.
Yeah, exactly.
Return you straight.
Oh, I won't be mentioning anything anymore about another network. All right. So we were talking about Glenn Beck's website, The Blaze.
The Blaze. The
Blaze. I mean, this is what they do, and on Fox News, right? They would like you to know that Trayvon Martin, the Florida teenager shot and killed by a neighborhood watch volunteer George Zimmer, might have been an arsonist kidnapper or even a murderer.
Sure.
Maybe.
Might have been. He was black, after all.
In an article attacking Al Sharpton for exploiting the racial controversy surrounding Martin's death, the Blaze editor writes that we're also learning more about Trayvon Martin's English teacher. What is this about Trayvon Martin? According to reporters, he had been suspended from school.
Ah, well.
Oh, maybe there was some sort of Skittles offense that, you know, you're not supposed to bring him to school. What?
Really?
So what? Exactly. Martin's English teacher said that he'd been suspended for tardiness.
Ah, ha, ha. See, he's practically a murderer.
But the Blaze editor said he has doubts and listed every single offense that could have resulted in Martin being suspended from school for
murder,
10 days.
For example.
To include
terrorism.
Arson, kidnapping, or murder.
And murder.
Murder.
See, could have been.
Are you kidding me? There's a lot of things you could have been suspended for based on no evidence of what he was suspended for.
Right.
They're just speculating.
But he was suspended for tardiness?
That's what it says.
How did
yes.
they...
And Glenn
and
Beck...
they made the leap to murder because of that.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck could have been fired because he's a child rapist.
That is
don't know.
Highly irresponsible journalism that the Blaze traffics in.
Areka in Illinois.
Hi, it's Areka.
Areka, sorry.
No problem. I was born and raised in Florida. I'm an African-American woman, and we moved to a predominantly white neighborhood. And my husband was my neighbor, and as teenagers, my brother and him would play together, and every time they'd go out after dark, the police would stop them.
Wow.
And they would tell them, they would try to figure out what they were doing, and then when they found out they weren't doing anything, they would say, we're going to put you on this list. We're taking your name, where you live, and if any crimes happen in the area in the next couple of weeks, we're coming to you first.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah, there are definite parts of Florida, aren't there? I mean, people don't think of, you know, Florida is not, you know, the first state that comes to mind when you think of racism, but
Really, anywhere north of Miami
the Riviera is the South.
Politically, it's the South. The liberal parts of the southern part of Florida.
The rec says, who knows, Trayvon Martin could have been Carlos the Jackal in his spare time.
Elva in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Elva.
Yes, hi. I was just thinking about the Stand Your Ground law and how, of course, Trayvon Martin was assassinated, essentially, because this Zimmerman felt threatened. So does this allow every African-American male who steps foot in a white neighborhood, should he be allowed to carry a gun and shoot a white person on the spot simply because with our history, they have every right to feel threatened?
Yeah.
Well, according to that law,
you're right. I mean, you're absolutely right, though. It's a bad law that could cut both ways. Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's the whole point of it. Mark in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello. Hi, Mark.
Hey, hello. Just a couple things. I just heard somebody in the background there mention highly irresponsible journalism. ABC yesterday morning in the morning hours was talking about, I guess I can say it, effing coon that was on the tapes. By the afternoon when I got home from work and the feds looked at the tapes, he's saying effing punk.
No.
What do you mean no?
We heard it. It was aired
on our new network.
Uh-huh. And other networks have aired it too.
You have the technology there to slow it down.
Oh, so we faked it.
And it is effing punk, isn't
it? So you're saying we faked it.
You want to put wood on the fire.
You said we faked it, sir?
I didn't. Who said you faked it?
What are you insinuating?
I'm insinuating that ABC, you said highly irresponsible journalism.
The Blaze is engaging in highly irresponsible journalism.
How about ABC News saying it says effing coon
Mark,
when it said
it was
punk.
Okay, first of all, stop saying that.
Yes. We've heard the recording.
Yes, we've heard the recording not only on current TV, but on...
That's exactly why Cenk aired it uncensored, so that this guy wouldn't go, no,
yeah,
that's not
punk.
What it was.
And other networks have aired it uncensored as well. So it's not just current TV, Mark.
And so who said they're faking it? You just implied
it. Yes, you did.
What other interpretation is there?
I mean, seriously, this is like Rick Santorum seriously trying to say when he's caught on tape saying, I don't want to help black people by giving them other people's money. Really?
Blah people.
I
know how those people are. The blah.
I said blah.
People from Transylvania.
Blah.
Blah.
I mean, really? Okay.
He doesn't trust Count Chocula.
And by the way, there are how many? I forget the exact number. I don't have it in front of me of these 911 calls, Jim. But he says over and over, it's a black male. There, uh-huh. Oh, there's a mm-hmm. suspicious looking. Oh, he looks real suspicious. It's a black kid.
56 times, I think he called. Yes. Yeah, 911 to report suspicious activity.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
Blah, people.
Dave in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Dave.
Hey, morning, Mama.
Yes.
As the official gay Lutheran pastor of the Stephanie Miller Show,
yes.
I was at Lenten worship last night, and one of the things we were talking about is how the value system gets turned around. We're to value people and use things, and in our country, you know, it's a radical right, and the religious right are going on and on about the values in our country. They seem to be promoting the exact opposite. We use people and value things. In this case, it's guns, and it's fear. They value being able to always be afraid and always have their guns handy.
Oh, dear.
Because,
Dave, I pray that you get a better phone. That's what I pray for.
Yeah, you have a bad connection this time.
Yeah, call us back, honey.
All right, bye-bye.
That's what happens when the pilot's giving you the really important information.
So this is one time where you should value things, like better phones.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I was feeling materialistic during that call. Yeah. Like, gosh, I wish he had a better cell phone. Maybe I'll send him one. All right, let's go to Mike in Florida. Hey, Mike, welcome.
Hey, Steph. My phone is not that good, but I have an important message to pass around here. There's a lot of Confederate flag where I live, and I feel threatened by them. So should I start using my AK and my knife? That's what I would like to ask the Glenn Dex and the Bill O'Reilly.
Very good point. Yeah. That's a really good point.
Yeah, exactly. You know, this is what I mean. It's like when you get into feelings, it's like it was this whole debate on whether employers should allow, you know, certain women to have contraception. It's like, oh, what are your moral feelings on this? And as you said, Chris, it can often be a slippery slope. What if your boss is a Christian Scientist?
Yep.
Then guess what? You don't get anything except for prayer if you're sick. I mean, it's that's the slippery moral slope.
Or if your boss is a Scientologist, here, hook you up to an e-meter. That'll fix you.
Yes, exactly. Okay, let's go to Trevor in Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Trev.
Hi, I just wanted to let you know about something that we got the Castle Doctrine here. We don't got the Standard Ground Law yet, but with Scotty, you know, Coke Puppet Walker here.
Yes.
Yeah. We got a 20-year-old black male that got shot in a porch in Slinger, Wisconsin. It was an underage drinking party. They all ran away. Then when they came back, he went to the wrong house or he hid on the wrong porch. The guy came out, shot him. He was unarmed, no forced entry.
Wow.
And he's totally scot-free, no questions asked. And we call it the blow away the Schwann's man law.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, honey.
Well, someone shot a trick-or-treater some years ago. I forget what state it was in because he felt threatened by someone coming up to his porch on Halloween.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they look scary.
Right. Who's asking for a handout? Yes, it's Halloween, you douche. Jessica in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Jessica.
Good morning. I just wanted to know, my 20 years in the Marine Corps, he had a DD-214. He was able to walk up, get a concealed carry permit, get all the guns that he wanted. Later, he was found to have PTSD and depression due to his injuries, and they had to take everything away from him. But just because initially he had that DD-214, he was allowed to get anything he wanted.
Mm. And where do you live in Florida?
I live in Deltona. It's about 15 minutes from Stanford.
From where Trayvon lives?
Yeah.
Or lived?
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, honey. Dan in Chicago. Hi, Dan.
Hello.
Hello.
I had a two quick things. One was, doesn't it seem like Al Sharpton is kind of exploiting this, though?
No.
No.
Even though his mom just died and he's still going to be at the rally, that doesn't strike you as exploitation?
Not at all.
Okay,
don't you
okay.
think that's up to him, since this has kind of been his life's work, issues like this?
I won't answer that, but can I...
Well, no,
exploitative because his mom died?
So, no. He has the choice between going to his family or being in the limelight, and he chooses that. I just find that...
Maybe his family asked him...
Maybe his family supports the work he's done his whole life.
Many things you don't know about Al Sharpton.
Okay, maybe his mom would have wanted him to be there.
Something else? I was just wondering.
I'm on the bubble about whether you can, but all right.
It's Dan, but we were. I noticed that they assume that the shooter is automatically racist. When we don't...
Oh, well, yes, because he uses a racial slur on the 45th 911 call.
Right.
About. Okay.
And says over and over again that there's a suspicious black guy.
You know, oftentimes, Chris, I make the wrong choice when a caller says, can I say one more thing? And that was one of those
You should have popped that bubble on Dan.
Yes.
Dan.
Yes.
His name is Dan.
Turns out, he really
That means Dan.
His name's Dan.
Not bubble?
It's not can.
Sorry, I stand corrected. What? 46 minutes?
I don't get
You assume
sometimes.
He's a racist just because he shot
Called him an effing...
Yeah.
Yeah.
C word for black.
And that wasn't the first time you've been pursuing.
Color. Okay, I have a headache in my eye. 46 minutes after
you
the...
Oh, sure, the white guys.
Wow.
Can I say something? No.
No.
Here, you can eat, suck on that.
Yeah.
Okay, 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What in the name of holy hell is going on here?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the absolute best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code, Stephanie. All right. A listener writes that trick-or-treat shooting, Jim, was in Louisiana.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. This is probably just a... What? Socialists asking for a handout? What? Yes, it's Halloween. See, this is the problem with the gun laws about feeling threatened.
Mm-hmm.
It's like isn't that like, don't they always accuse liberals of the ones we work on feelings and not facts?
Yeah. Only.
I have a bad feeling about that guy. Blam. Really?
Only conservatives just seem to respond to fear. That's all they seem to respond to.
Yeah.
It's the authoritarian personality.
That's what it is.
Yeah. By the way, Keith in San Diego writes, a question about the current debut, which happens Monday morning. Set your DVRs.
Yep.
Steph, is there any way to see you and the Mooks if you don't have current TV? No, there's not. You have to get current TV. Our cable provider, Cox, does not have current TV.
Although, is one of the nationwide ones that don't.
Cox, let's go. Get on it. Get current.
My parents have Cox Cable in Virginia, and so they can.
Yeah, well, call them and tell them you want it. Demand it.
There you go.
I get the podcast, and I'm fine with that. Would love to see you on the big screen. Can we see you on Current Live or as a rebroadcast? Right now, no plans to rebroadcast. You'll have to watch live, 6 to 9 a.m. Pacific, 9 to noon Eastern.
However, the Ustream will still be running. We'll just be running the audio on it, though. No video on the Ustream.
Yeah.
And the chat room will still remain as well.
It will just be a heavily airbrushed and better lit picture of me.
Higher def, too.
On television, you'll see the true horror.
You can see every pore.
Let's go to Sue in Rockville, Maryland. Hey, Sue, welcome.
Hi, good morning. You know, I'm listening to all this conversation, and first of all, to one of your previous callers, Zimmerman did not feel threatened by Trayvon Martin. He stalked him, and he killed him in cold blood. It's a premeditated murder. He was told to stand down. There is no threat there, so that's just one thing I think we need to keep clear.
Yeah, well, like Jim said yesterday, he was that vigilante character that they had on In Living Color, but not funny. Yeah. Right?
Like most of the right wing, you know, utter cowards who fail and can't really do the work. They can't really serve in the military, and they can't really become police officers because they're mentally unstable, so they, you know, hide behind these guns. And speaking of hiding, there are accomplices here, and we need to flush it out. It's bigger than just this horrible case. I mean, Fox News is as much an accomplice. Sheriff Joe Arpaio is as much an accomplice to this. They cloak themselves behind the First Amendment, but if you read the text of the First Amendment, it simply says Congress shall make no law abridging the right of freedom of speech.
Right.
It doesn't say there aren't consequences
for
behavior. And this kind of hate, especially against our president, that has been going on for the last 4 years plus, is the direct cause of this kind of hate. And as you said, Steph, you said it so beautifully before. You just said the gloves are off. They can print posters now and bumper stickers and just be free in their racism, which is great because it exposes them. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't hold them accountable when young children are killed.
Right. Well, I'm just saying, it is an interesting parallel with the blatant racism already rearing its ugly head towards the president in this campaign cycle and this something like a Trayvon Martin case. I mean, I was looking at this Stumpy stickers, the ones that sold, the, you know, this you know, don't renege in 2012, mm-hmm. Spelled incorrectly, obviously. So the site went down last week, and they also peddled the design, one with a caricature of a black man's face missing a tooth, another with a picture of a chimpanzee that reads Obama 2012. In this article in Christian Science Monitor, Randall McLaughlin, civil rights lawyer, cites the video by the Andrew Breitbart. He had promoted the video as a bombshell, suggesting it proved Mr. Obama to be a race warrior intent on righting the wrongs of history on the backs of white Americans.
And
I mean, it's all
people
part...
like Sarah Palin. It was that was her, what her whole speech
yeah.
was about.
Yeah.
It was, any attempt at redressing?
Yeah. Did Andrew Breitbart say, "God strike me
slavery.
Dead"? If this isn't
a... oh, Steph.
There's been some time since the tragedy.
Enough time?
Maybe, maybe not. McLaughlin said, we are not in a post-racial America. This is going to be the nastiest election cycle we've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Another professor at Fordham said the difference between 2008 and 2012 is that racial messages now are cruder and uglier. He said there's an added edge to it because Barack Obama is a powerful incumbent president who was the odds-on favorite to win the 2012 election. This is, gives what racist expressions that do come out, an air of desperation and rage. It's true. I mean, did you saw this? They cited the case of this chief U.S. judge in the District of Montana.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of these, like, oh, I forwarded this email. Sorry if there was any offense. On his office email system, a United States judge that had a little boy said to his mother, Mommy, how come I'm black and you're white? The mother replied, don't even go there, Barack. From what I can remember about that party, you're lucky you don't bark. Ha, 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 ha.
He's completely disqualified himself from being federal judge.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, he apologizes if anybody was offended
yeah,
by that.
He didn't apologize for the offense?
The
no.
Okay.
He apologizes if sensitive people somehow
yes.
found it objectionable.
Mm.
If Zimmerman gets off, there's one person to blame, and apparently that's me, huh? according to Mike in Chicago. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I'm not saying you're to blame. I'm just saying... the rhetoric that's going on all the news stations, all the radio stations, is making it almost impossible for this guy to get a fair trial, which means that he'll end up getting off. I think the guy's completely
wrong. I'm sorry, talking about actual evidence and stuff like that. I apologize.
Well, actually, all the evidence hasn't been released yet. I'm
okay.
not saying
for
that
example,
the guy's not
the,
guilty.
The drug and alcohol tests on the shooter. Oh, no, those that didn't happen.
That, yeah.
They tested the corpse.
Hey, the worst thing that's going to happen is if this kid smoked weed any time in the last 30 days, it's going to come out that this kid was a drug addict. I'm not saying... the guy should...
so clearly
should
he was
jail.
Deserved
There's
to get
no
shot
question.
In cold blood. Pardon?
Absolutely not. I think this guy is completely wrong, and that's what he wanted to do. But I think that the main objective here is to get rid of that law in Florida that just protects people, you know, let them protect themselves.
I agree, but how is me or anybody else in the media talking about the facts of the case so far... you know,
because
unfair.
Because you're saying that he's guilty. Everyone on there, one guy said, oh, he should be crucified. That's not, I mean, how do you ever get a
he
fair
meant
trial?
It. He didn't mean it literally, sir.
Lord.
All right. 58 minutes after the hour.
There's evidence out there. How you can't talk about it. You can't
right.
get a fair trial.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Well, I'm walking on sunshine. Well, and it doesn't feel good. Hey, I'm right now, and it doesn't feel good.
Yahoo! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Sexy liberal John Fugelsang tomorrow for all 3 hours of Fridays with Fugelsang. He created the Etch-a-Sketch moment.
Yeah.
He was the one that asked the question on CNN that led to the Etch-a-Sketch answer. And, oh, here now is Newt Gingrich to helpfully explain what it is.
You'll notice that their pictures aren't permanent.
Oh.
There's nothing locked down.
Oh.
You can redo it anytime you want.
Oh, thanks, Newt.
Thanks for the explanation on how an Etch-a-Sketch works, Newt.
Only Mitt Romney could turn Newt Gingrich into a good comedian.
She could now be a presidential candidate. She has her very own Etch-a-Sketch.
Wow, prop comic. He's the carrot top of the Republican race.
Wow.
They all brought props, little Etch-a-Sketch props yesterday to their...
A little less in shape than Carrot Top is, though. Just say that.
All right.
The news just came over CNN that the jobless claims are down, the 4-year low.
Uh-oh.
So I guess Mitt was right. The economy's getting worse
Uh-oh.
Under President Obama.
No, he actually said the economy's getting better. Rut-row.
Rut-row.
Not a good couple days for Mitt Romney.
Aww,
with a little assist from sexy liberal John Fugelsang yesterday.
Good morning, sir. It's fair to say that John McCain was considerably a more moderate candidate than the ones that Governor Romney faces now. Is there a concern that the pressure from Santorum and Gingrich might force the governor to tack so far to the right it would hurt him with moderate voters in the general election?
Well, I think you hit a reset button for the fall campaign. Everything changes. It's almost like an Etch-a-Sketch. You can kind of shake it up and we start all over again.
I think right then they looked like the Comedy and Tragedy mask. John's smile just got bigger. And he just went, what did
whoa,
I just...
Whoa, did I really say that out loud?
Did I just
loud?
Call him a flip-flopper?
Wah, boy. Okay. All right. Awaiting Representative Barbara Lee in just a moment. Robin in Joyzy, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rob.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Good, thanks. I just want to say, first off, I used to live in upstate New York, and I was in sales and had a territory in Buffalo, Transit Row, Batavia, Attica, all that.
Oh, my God, up the transit from Mama's hometown of Lakeport. You probably went through Cheektowaga and Lackawanna.
Exactly.
And Tanawanda, if you're lucky. Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, I wanted to say, you had a couple of... No, I can't. I don't have any other better word besides nutbags that called earlier regarding Trayvon Martin and saying how it was wrong to look at, you know, they were wrong for discussing the facts or convicting Zimmerman. And it's just really outrageous and disgusting because I think clearly what he was saying in reference to saying that what was heard on the tape was effing punks. That so clearly is not what was heard.
Well, exactly, and, which is exactly why Cenk aired it uncensored last night on Current, because so you would avoid that. People going, no, no,
that's not what he said.
All right, Representative Barbara Lee of the great state of California joins us now. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Hi, good morning. Glad to be with you.
Oh, thanks so much for coming on. We've obviously been talking, as many people have, about the Trayvon Martin shooting. You know, it is amazing, isn't it? As awful as this is, I mean, we have had even calls this morning. There really, this is not a racial issue. This could be anybody's kid, brother, and I think that there is some real bipartisan outrage, don't you?
Yeah, I think there is, and there should be. First, these laws are horrible laws. They're very bad laws. They encourage the proliferation of guns, and you know, sooner or later, this country has to look at what gun safety and gun control really means. And that does not mean taking away hunters' rights to bear arms and others' rights to bear arms. But we've got to get guns off of the street. Secondly, it could happen to anyone, but you add an element of race when it, because of the whole issue of racial profiling. And when you look at the numbers of young African-American males who are unduly and unwarranted targeted by not only police, but by so many others, such as this Mr. Zimmerman, then you have to really recognize race is still a factor in everything in America, and we have to not sweep that under the rug. And so everyone should be outraged by this, and my heart just goes out to his parents and my sorrow, because I have two sons. I have two grandsons. It could be any of our kids.
Well, this is what was so touching to me about this, the Million Hoodie March, because, guess what? Wearing a hoodie is not a crime in America. And it's, I think you're right. This has really touched a lot of people's hearts. And also, as you sort of implied, Representative, the facts shouldn't have to be so egregious. I mean, this case just happens to be so bad. But, you know, like you say, it's just a really toxic mix of a really bad law and racism, isn't it?
It is, and you have other states that have these types of laws, and so, you know, you add guns to that, and you see what happens when, gun on the street, everyone having arms for whatever reason, you know, you see how that can go out of hand. So we have to have some types of gun safety measures and gun control measures, I think, and, you know, sooner or later, you know, the public's going to wake up to that. So I'm very pleased that the Justice Department is going to investigate this death. It should be investigated as a hate crime. And the Congressional Black Caucus called for that and many other members of Congress. So hopefully justice will be done. But when you see that this man is still walking around without being arrested, without being subject to prosecution.
Yeah, with his concealed gun license, right.
Yeah. What is wrong in this country now?
That's right.
You have to really wonder when people can shoot down people in cold-blooded murder.
Yep, yep. Congresswoman, we're limited time this morning. Unfortunately, I want to talk to you about Paul Ryan's budget, because you said the perfect thing, which I know has been said before, but you said our nation's budget is a moral document that should serve as a blueprint for how we build our communities. The Republican budget is morally bankrupt. It is a blueprint for leaving our country, especially our seniors, out in the cold. You know, he can put a new binder on this thing, but it's the same thing as last time, essentially, isn't it?
Well, or worse, you know, when you look at what he's done, again, with Medicare, our seniors, and thank goodness AARP is, you know, fighting against it, and I'm really pleased that they're in it so early. But when you look at the type of cuts to the safety net, they go way beyond even what the sequestration cuts call for. They want to the other thing is, this job not only will not create jobs, it will, according to the Economic Policy Institute, it would result in about 1.3 million job loss in 2013 and 2.8 million job loss in 2014, which totals 4.1 million job loss through 2014. So that, you know, to me, should say to the public, this should be a non-starter.
Yep.
It should be a non-starter. They're talking about, once again, giving the 1% huge tax cuts. The wealthiest of Americans, they will win. Big oil will win in this. Middle income and low income and poor families get the short end of the stick.
Yep,
Once again, with the Ryan budget. So this is the Republican agenda.
Well, as you say, it's a roadmap to ruin for the neediest people in the country. I mean, you know, even some of the stuff you pointed out, education and infrastructure slashed by 45% and 24%, respectively. I mean, it just, it literally, to me, could not be more of a blueprint for the wrong priorities.
It is. It's the wrong priorities. But I think what we have seen over the years is this is the central focus of the Republican Party. And hopefully this Ryan budget will help the public begin to understand this is what we're fighting against in Congress each and every day. These are Tea Party Republicans who are running the show. They're obstructionists, and they really do want to dismantle government, dismantle the safety net, and provide for the erosion of any form of opportunity for all.
Yeah, absolutely. Representative Barbara Lee, always such a pleasure. Sorry we're short on time this morning, but please come back again soon.
Thank you again.
All right, there she goes. Representative Barbara Lee.
Love her.
Awesome. Great state of California.
Yep.
All right, I just had the greatest idea in the history of broadcasting.
Really?
And I'm going to, yes. And
since Marconi?
Yes, since Marconi invented it. And I'm going to talk to Angela Carasone of Stop Beck and Stop Rush about it. Next, 15 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your human happy pill.
Happy, happy, joy, joy, joy.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 21 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number, toll-free from anywhere. All right, Angelo Carasone is the, he's campaign director at Media Matters, organized the Stop Beck effort. We have spoken to him before, and now the Stop Rush effort. Good morning, Angelo.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. I just told Chris I have the greatest idea in the history of broadcasting. Are you ready?
All right, go for it.
I'm going to invite Rush Limbaugh to come on my show next week.
Good luck with that.
Well, let me tell you something, Angela. You and I have talked about this before. I have to tell you, as someone in radio that has advertisers, this makes me nervous. What movie is that that says, you know, we send one of yours to the morgue and we'll send one of yours to the, one of yours to the hospital?
The Chicago
Way. The Untouchables.
Yeah. Yeah.
No,
this could very easily happen to me, to Ed Schultz, to Randy Rhodes. Yeah.
I know that, and you know, I do. I'm very sensitive to that. It's a very unfortunate situation, and I think it's important to remember that it's Mr. Limbaugh himself and his syndicator that is putting everyone, both the business interests that have to rely on the show, that just simply do business with it, as well as the communities that he broadcasts in, that they're all being put in this position by Mr. Limbaugh and his syndicator, because it's not so much the infraction, that's a really big problem, but it's the fact that these things are done with total impunity.
impunity. I mean, if this kind of remark and this sort of sustained attack was done by any other employee, you would expect the employer to provide some form of sanction. You'd expect some kind of full-scale
right.
apology.
Right? But you understand that Bill Maher's of the world defending Rush in the sense that it has happened to him. He lost his last TV show because they went after sponsors at ABC.
Yeah.
Rush put out a statement today, or his spokesperson did, saying, let's be clear, most advertisers aren't making a political statement when they decide where to spend their money. Most choose varied programs to reach mm-hmm. audiences with different points of view, mm-hmm. which is what the CEO of Carbonite, he mentioned me and Ed Schultz in his original statement saying, I advertise on a variety of shows, yada, yada, yada. But that being said, I think he did the right thing by making the decision to stop. He still advertises here and not on Rush. But the point is, Angela, the next time they make a decision, he could decide, you know what, talk radio is just too controversial because Newsbuster said Stephanie Miller said this and this and this.
Well, I don't think that the issue is being controversial. I actually right. think that you can have, I mean, sometimes controversy is good. A lot of times it's good because it generates from a debate in which you have right. a wide range of opinions participating and engaging and going back and forth. And controversy could be a sign that you have high levels of engagement and interest. And that's a good thing. The issue is the fact that it's the abuse of the platform, right? I mean, it's not one remark here. He went after not a public figure or a celebrity, but a student with his national platform in a very clear attempt to stifle her and I think others like her, and that I think is a very big problem.
Well, and you know, you said something interesting. I was reading your Village Voice interview, which I think goes to my point. You say the word boycott, it's very rare I called for a boycott mm-hmm. or attacked a company. For the most part, I let advertisers know where their money was being spent, where it was going, and what it was helping. Mm-hmm. They made the decision themselves, because that's all I'm saying is that word makes all of us nervous.
Yeah.
And it makes, you know, because if you hurt my advertisers, then you're hurting me as well. So that's what I mean. This is a fine line, isn't it?
Yeah, and I don't use that word, and I don't consider it to be that.
Right.
It usually doesn't get to that. I mean, I think that Mr. in a weird way, what Mr. Limbaugh's spokesman said was accurate. They're not making a political statement. Exactly. They're making a business decision. And what they look at is not, they don't look at the remarks. They look at the volatility and the irresponsibility displayed, and they say, wait a minute, this guy is a bond burner and he's dangerous. He's dangerous for our business because they expect some reliability, some consistency there.
Well, you made another good point in this Village Voice article. You said the very clearest example was when Carbonite came out Saturday night. That was significant because they'd been one of his biggest advertisers and they announced their drop after the so-called apology.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also, you know, again, their decision that was this apology sincere, and obviously in a lot of people's opinion it wasn't, and that
right.
he continued to attack her. And I think the more important thing you say in the Village Voice, you say Sandra Fluke is not a celebrity or political figure. She's a student. So people can personalize this. Rush wasn't attacking Hillary Clinton. Fluke could be your sister or your cousin or you. And I think that's what you were saying, that reaction compared to that there hasn't been the degree of social media as in the past.
Yeah, for sure. And that I think is the difference here, because, and that's what I think gets at the core of why something like this is important. It's that if you have someone who's going to use their platform and their power in this kind of an irresponsible way to sort of go after someone simply because they don't like their perspectives, not engage in a debate, not actually hit the substance of the matter, but actually just really try to sort of make it so that it's to stifle their speech, that's dangerous. That's bad.
Yeah, when we made that point on the air, we said to our listeners, respectfully, let our advertisers like Profile or Carbonite or wherever know how you feel, but don't, you know, we try to make the, you know, because people get confused, Angela, mm-hmm. and they get emotional, and they're like, I'm boycotting you until you drop Carbonite, or I'm boycotting Carbonite. We're like,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, we got a lot of that at the very beginning of this. We're
and
like,
let me break some news with you, because you were behind the Stop Beck campaign. Speaking of the interwebs, word has gotten out to us. I don't know if you know this, but because it's well known, Clear Channel, my station in San Francisco, on a largely progressive station, replaced my show in the morning with Glenn Beck.
Yes,
and have moved our show to 7 to 10 p.m. And apparently the ratings have dropped 90%.
Yeah.
In the 2 months. I have 90%.
Who could have possibly predicted?
No. Who could have seen that coming in San Francisco on a progressive station? But, again, you know, will the market forces work here? We'll see. Because
That's exactly right. You know, and the thing is, people talk about Limbaugh's audience size. It's a myth. He does have a big audience, but it's only because he's ubiquitous. When you actually drill down in the individual markets, he doesn't compete very well. He's at the bottom in Milwaukee, ranked 11th. He's ranked 23rd in Chicago in the key demographic, and it goes on and on and on. He's just ubiquitous. He doesn't even his individual competition isn't even that well.
Well, we can all pick and choose this. You know, he's on here in L.A. on the 50,000 mm-hmm. watt station that I used to be on, where I had the same ratings he did. You know, but mm-hmm. I mean, that's that's a we can all pick and choose, you know, signals and this and that. But I guess our point, you know, Angelo, is, you know, as you know, progressive radio, we're on, what are we on, 50 stations as compared to his 500, 600?
Right.
So, you know, it makes everybody in radio nervous. You know what I'm saying? Because it's going to be awfully tough. I mean, we've only got about a minute left, but I would just say, as you know, he doesn't work for someone really to get fired by. I mean, pretty much he would have to get fired by 600 program directors ultimately. So
right.
what do you think? Because I know you basically have said you think this has been his Waterloo.
I think that, I mean, we haven't issued a specific call here. I think that the degree of irresponsibility displayed was so severe that it's almost self-evident that some type of accountability is warranted here. And I think that Mr. Limbaugh made things worse when he got up there and said, I'm only apologizing for calling her a slut and a prostitute. I'm not going to apologize for saying, for suggesting that she should keep her legs closed, and I'm not going to apologize for suggesting that she was having sex at 12 years old or any of the 44 other smears that were included in there. And I think that made things worse, and he chose it.
And because, like you say, it's hard to say when you've reached that the Dr. Laura moment, the Imus moment, the you know Glenn Beck moment at Fox News, but what is your opinion on that?
I mean, certainly there's real lasting account of, at least consequences as a result of that. I mean, he's feeling it. His rates will feel it. I think the fact that he's created the volatility and that business interests have backed away, and he's continuing to dig in there, you know, that itself, every single day, there are real consequences attached to that. And it all could have been avoidable if, on the first part, he acted a little more responsibly. I mean, this did go on for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And on the second half, if he actually issued a full-scale apology and there was some type of a sanction.
And my other thing, we're going to invite my friend Sean Hannity on next week too. If his friends had not all defended him reflexively and said, you know, I love Rush, but what he did was wrong. I think that was part of it. Angelo, always a pleasure. Sorry we're hitting a hard break. We'll talk
to you again
real soon.
Okay,
there he goes. Angelo Carrasola. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I was in three improv groups in college. I was in Improvidence, I was in the Wackadamia Nuts, and I know I'm dating myself here, but Three Smile Island.
And the group called the Frayed Knots opened for us once in our
really?
Comedy show.
What was the name of your band?
Sketch comedy show called Nothing Sacred.
Your band was the Foreskins, wasn't it?
Oh, it was the fake band. We just took pictures and posed with instruments.
Whatever. Looky what he can do, the lighting guy. He just turned on. He just turned on my big sign behind me for next. My current sign for next week. That was
crooked.
He was like a bumble. Look at what he did. Okay.
Didn't I ever tell you about bumbles? Bumbles bounce!
Lighting guys don't.
I'm having a monk moment. The thing's a little bit off, and it's freaking me out.
Just hung it up. I'm sure he's going to tweak it.
1-800-STEPH-12. The phone number toll-free from anywhere. Representative Karen Bass of the great state of California joins us now. Good morning, Representative.
Good morning. How are you?
I am fine. We've been talking all morning, as I know a lot of us have, about the Trayvon Martin case. And, I think you may have pointed out, or it's in an article, that shouldn't very, first of all, the police chief be fired? I mean, this thus far seems to have been the worst investigation ever, if nothing else, right?
Well, I mean, I certainly agree with that. And, you know, I just think that there have been so many egregious insults to the family from not allowing his body to be given to the family for 3 days, the delay in notification, the fact that they chose to drug test his body, but yet the shooter was able to just walk away and continues to walk away, and for all we know, he's running around the area armed today.
Didn't reach the girlfriend who was talking to him on the cell phone when this happened.
Right.
I mean, and again, I don't know actually I don't know how that works. I don't know, can they get the actual conversation, Chris, with the girlfriend?
No.
To not even interview her to get her testimony about what, you know, he was saying. I mean, it just, there's also been reports police corrected witnesses who said they heard the boy screaming for help.
It's on tape.
They say they may have missed a potential racial slur.
Potential?
Have you heard it, Representative? I mean, he very clearly says, you know, C word for black person on the yeah.
You know, exactly. But I just have to tell you, and I was just sharing with my staff member a few minutes ago, that, you know, so much of what's going on today feels like that we're thrust back in a time machine.
Right.
And the time machine on rolling back civil rights, you know, the case that's before the Supreme Court right now that would end affirmative action,
right.
You know, voting rights being attacked. And I think it's going to be really interesting to look at these gun laws around the country, because, you know, we know that shootings have increased, and it would not be surprising to me at all if the increase in shootings was disproportionate to folks of color.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like throwing us back to the days where maybe we're not put over a tree anymore, but, you know, you're shot down.
Yeah.
So it's very disturbing to me, and I plan to follow up on it.
Yeah, and, you know, speaking of whether it's war on minorities, war on women, I mean, this Republican war on women, it is real. There is two headlines I just read today that you have to literally shake your head and go, did I just read that? Alaska lawmaker, women should obtain permission from men before undergoing an abortion.
Yep.
Arizona lawmaker, women should watch an abortion being performed prior to having it.
Right. I heard about the one where you would have to watch, which is just absolutely insane. But, you know, I do like the legislation that the one woman is putting forward that says that if a man wants to have Viagra, he needs to have cardiac stress tests. Maybe I should introduce something that says he has to have permission and it must be used only for reproduction. There certainly couldn't be
yes.
recreational sex, my goodness.
Yes. And, I think he has to have a note saying that he actually is impotent from,
right.
from a partner, explaining so that you know for sure whether it's physical or emotional.
Wow.
You know, just private business stuff like that.
I think, you know, I mean, in all seriousness, I think sometimes it's important to do something like that so that it raises it to the level of absurdity.
Yeah.
Because it is absurd. And, you know, this is not about rolling us back to the 1950s. This is about rolling us back to the 1850s.
Yeah. It's an actual legislator that said she should have a signed note from the man who impregnated her that it's
mm-hmm.
okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't even get me started. Anyway, all right, let's talk about the Paul Ryan budget, because you know, we just talked to your colleague, Representative Barbara Lee, who, you know, has made the point that it is a moral document. A budget is a moral document. And interestingly, another headline this morning, faith leaders blast House Republican budget as an immoral disaster that robs the poor. I mean, that just can't be said enough, can it?
Well, no, it really can't. But I think it's really important, though, to look at the ideology that's underneath his budget, because it's not just that he proposes cuts. He's essentially proposing a restructuring of our country and of, you know, essentially the basic principles and values that our country is based on. So how can you have the richest country on the planet in the history of the world not have a safety net? And why on earth would you believe that it should be the survival of the fittest? And frankly, if you don't have money for food, well, then, you know, so be it. I mean, it really is values based, and talking about the values that come from that budget, I just think it's really important to look at the ideology that rests upon the budget.
Well, Bishop Gene Robinson said it best: the Ryan budget robs the poor, the marginalized, and the vulnerable of the safety net so integral to their survival. By any measure of civility and regard for one's neighbor, it is an immoral disaster. You know, and getting into beyond that, the other two headlines this morning: Ryan budget pads big oil's pockets while Americans pay at the pump, and GOP plan to reduce the debt actually makes the debt worse.
Well, absolutely. I mean, they are calling for reducing the corporate tax rate, and they want to reduce it in a way that it has to be paid for some kind of way. So really, you're talking about raising taxes on the middle class, and then they don't want any defense cuts at all. They actually want to add money to the defense budget. So much for a safety net. The only safety net we need in society is defense.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and as the president, I don't know if you heard, you know, just now has announced opening the southern section of the Keystone Pipeline. As you know, and we all know, we're drilling more than ever, you know, and yet there's still every Republican candidate is out there blaming the president for gas prices. Meanwhile, Paul Ryan's budget would retain a decade's worth of oil tax breaks worth $40 billion, and his budget would cut billions of dollars from investments to develop alternative fuels and clean energy technologies.
Well, it's about paying the Koch brothers back, isn't it?
Right.
I mean, you know, who
exactly.
financed the Republican majority that's here today? You do have to do the bidding of your, you know, of the people that paid for you to come here.
Yeah, yeah. And to the first thing is it doesn't even do the main thing that he claims it does. He has touted it as a plan to make America's level of debt more sustainable, right? There it is. The Think Progress did a breakdown. The problem with Ryan's rhetoric is his plan fails to match it by giving massive tax breaks to corporations in the top 1% and preserving unsustainable levels of defense spending, as you just said. The House GOP's plan to reduce the debt level would fail to reduce the debt. Because it assumes level of revenue that are pure fantasy under his tax proposal, the plan would actually increase the debt.
But see, that's why I think the ideology is so important, is because it's not that they are against spending the government's money and taxpayers' money. Their difference is what they want to spend it on. So they have absolutely no problem in viewing the nation's treasure as essentially capital for big business, well, and small business. That's their view of it. You know, our view of the world is that the nation's treasure should also protect the most vulnerable in our society and should be more of an equalizer. That's not the ideology that they believe in.
Well, yeah, and also, as I was saying, it's, you know, Think Progress says it's based on massive unrealistic spending cuts as well. I mean, so the problem is it's not really even a realistic plan, is it?
No. It doesn't balance at all. It is not realistic. I mean, just take Medicare, for example. If you end Medicare as we know it and hand a senior citizen a voucher or a check, hand them a check for $6,000 and then say good luck, that doesn't save any money, because when that senior citizen gets ill and has to be hospitalized and they exceed the expense that check provides, they go to the emergency room and that ultimately costs more money. So it's never about saving. It's just about a redistribution, but it's a redistribution to the wealthy.
Well, that's what I mean. That's why I don't get, honestly, Representative, all this outcry about the mandate. This is why we're required to have car insurance, because if you don't have health insurance, we all pay when you go get your primary care at the emergency room, as you just said.
Exactly. Absolutely.
All right. Representative Karen Bass, always such a pleasure. Thanks so much for taking time for us.
Thank you for having me on, as always.
All right. Thank you. Aww, there she goes.
That's
awesome.
Terrific, Bass. Yes.
Okay. Jim, on the same subject.
I'm surprised you didn't ask her about the potholes, because she is your congresswoman.
She is my particular congresswoman.
Yes.
It's really more the speed bump things that bother me. I'll get to that later. Let me make a note. As a constituent of Congressman Ryan and a Catholic priest, I'm disappointed by his cruel budget plan and outraged he defends it on moral grounds. Ryan is Catholic, and he knows that justice for the poor and economic fairness are core elements of our church's social teaching. It's shameful that he disregarded these principles in his budget. Who said that?
Adolf Hitler.
Who was also Catholic?
What?
Father Thomas Kelly, who was Catholic priest.
Wow.
Ex-constituent.
Oh, Jim.
Jim, who said, whatever one thinks of Congressman Ryan's ideas, it's unimaginable to look into the face of a child who would go hungry without government assistance and say, sorry, we need to reduce the deficit. Who said that?
Carrot Top.
No, that is also incorrect. Rabbi Jackie Moline.
Oh.
One of my personal favorite rabbis. All right.
I don't think you can get it any different from Carrot Top.
Maria
than a rabbi.
Albuquerque. Hello,
hi,
Maria.
Hi, Stephanie. Hi. I was front row center. I saw you in Santa Fe last year, and my husband and I were there, and he commented on his package. We had a great time.
Awesome.
At the show. And I just wanted to, it's a comment related to Trayvon Martin. I like everyone else, I'm just shocked that this type of thing is still going on. In this day and age, and I'm a substitute teacher here in Albuquerque, and I was in my son's class the other day. There's two boys named Austin. One's African-American, the other one is white, and outside the classroom, a couple of girls, little third graders, were talking, and I asked them, they were talking about Austin. I said, which Austin are you talking about? And they said, the one with the glasses. And, you know, it just made me think that it's sad that, you know, I have to explain all this other stuff to my kids. I'm hoping we never see one of those Renege bumper stickers, but, you know, I just wish that at this point, you know, in our lives and the 21st century, we didn't even have to.
Yeah. So what your point is that one of your students is obviously a nearsighted bigot. She's a stigmatism racist.
Yeah.
Maria, the important question is, are you and your husband and his enormous package coming to the Albuquerque show March 31st?
We're going to try. I'm not sure if there's still tickets left. But
there are very few left, and you haven't seen Hal Sparks yet, so you have to come to this one, and it's all new stuff now.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to try and go then.
Yeah. Well, you'll have to do better than that. But, all right. Thank you, Maria. Appreciate it. All right. Yes, there are very few tickets left. Get it.
You're going to have new material?
Well, I'll still comment on someone's package and probably straddle someone. That's all. That's
and, that and take a picture of your cooter.
That's an evergreen. Yeah. That's evergreen. 46. Is Al Gore in the control room right now at current?
You know what? Just pull the plug. It's over. I'm sorry.
You know what? I better just unplug this right now. Here we go. There we go. All right. 46 minutes.
This show's using up way too much energy.
Do I need to take this out myself? I brought my toolbox. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
God, what did you have for breakfast this morning? Carnation instant bitch?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You can tell that's why you can tell I'm the same age as Ferris Bueller, because I think that song is still cool.
Yeah.
I don't care how many 80s movies it was in.
It was in a lot of 80s movies.
Ferris Bueller's 50.
Yeah, he turned 50 yesterday.
He's like me. 50 likes to kick, stretch.
And kick.
And kick. Okay. Okay, Monk, did you fix the sign? Monk, Jim actually touched the current sign because it was a little bit off.
It was a little off, and it was really annoying. Okay. The angle was such
a union gig. Don't touch that.
Yeah.
Okay. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone
Lou
number.
Will call you in.
Actually, the Ustream, because this is, you know, only a couple more days for our video Ustream.
Today and tomorrow.
They were looking for a little plumber crack, so I actually sexually harassed Lou.
You did.
Pulled his shirt up.
I think that's another violation.
I hate that.
Not around
harassment.
Here. This is a sexual harassment seminar every day in a different way.
Exactly.
And then I make Jim touch my ass. Mm-hmm. Okay. Come on, Lou. Give him a little sugar. Bonnie in Jersey, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, good morning, lovelies. I'm the proud Jewish feminazi from the Jersey Shore.
Yeah!
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I am so glad, Steph, that you mentioned the police chief of Sanford, Florida, because my dad was chief of the Housing Authority Police Department in New York City.
Right.
And I swear to you, if he knew of this stand your ground law that they're considering in the neighboring state of Pennsylvania there, explode. I mean, you're giving full license to any yahoo with a deadly weapon to be self-appointed judge, jury, executioner with complete impunity. Yeah. And no, it doesn't have to be a break-in and in your home. It doesn't have to be on your property. It could be anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, what reasonable, and believe, and by the way, you know, Bonnie, of course we still believe in you know, trials and a judge and jury, but it's like, what, the fact that this guy hasn't even been arrested, is walking around with his concealed weapon still, you don't think there might be, you know, a little bit of a, maybe some sort of malfeasance involved here, a little bit of an investigation might be warranted?
Some malfeasance up in your brainard.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Hello.
I just think I'm going to vote.
Over this entire case.
Yep.
All right, the president talking about energy.
One member of Congress who shall remain unnamed called these jobs phony. Yeah, these guys were around when Columbus set sail. They'd be charter members of the Flat Earth Society.
And he also made the same point I just did about the Paul Ryan budget and the tax breaks for oil companies.
The current members of the Flat Earth Society in Congress, they would rather see us continue to provide $4 billion in tax to the oil companies. $4 billion to an industry that is making record profits.
Oh, by the way, and Rick Santorum was just whining about the president. He won't let us explore, drill anywhere. The president is...
here in the Gulf with the moratorium and the permitorium, and of course...
The president just approved the southern section of Keystone Pipeline, frothy.
When drilling is up 350%.
Yeah. Okay, you know, we've been distracted by the racism this morning. Let's get back to the sexism for a moment,
shall
we? As I mentioned to Representative Bass, yes... Who are they? Well, that's, we need to name them. Oh, State Representative Alan Dick. What a surprise. In Alaska, he said recently he doesn't believe when a woman is pregnant, it's really her pregnancy. He would advocate for criminalizing women who have an abortion without the permission by a written signature from the man who impregnated her.
Wow.
That
wow.
guy.
Really?
That guy. Yeah. And Arizona, come on down. I know it's so weird to have some crazy right-wing come out of Arizona. Yes, who's this? Representative Terry Proud. I bet a lot of people not proud to have Terry Proud as one of their... She told a constituent in an email, women should be required to watch an abortion being performed prior to having it.
And what purpose
personally,
would that
she wrote,
serve?
I'd like to make a law that mandates a woman watch an abortion being performed prior to having a surgical procedure. If it's not life, it shouldn't matter. It shouldn't harm a woman, then she shouldn't care. And why don't we want more transparency and education in the medical profession anyway? Okay, that's...
Your state legislature at work, Arizona.
There you go. Who isn't proud? Anybody? Okay. Gawker, I think, is... they are also missing the sports gene.
Yeah.
Tim Tebow, famous athlete, will play for New York Jets sports team. Okay, that's... covered that news.
That's
whoever
where
cares.
I get all of my sports news from Gawker because they have the same attitude that I do.
One of the Mannings went to Denver, City by the Bay, and, yeah...
We love you, Denver! City by the Bay!
That's more than I knew.
Man up over there. I knew that. All right. Let's see. Does anybody care if the situation is in rehab?
No.
That being said, it looks like he is in rehab. Because his spokesperson said he's not in rehab. He's at an undisclosed location for much-needed rest and recuperation. Right.
Because he's suffering from exhaustion.
He's in rehab. Mm-hmm.
That's the situation. Yep, he's exhausted.
That is the situation. Bridget Nielsen says she had an affair with Arnold Schwarzenegger while he was engaged to Marie Shriver.
Oh. Mm. That's a problem.
When they were making Red Sonja. Since we both knew it wouldn't last beyond the movie, we didn't hold back. We wanted to try everything, and so we did. Maybe that's the first time he broke his femur.
Wow.
Ah, my femur! Ah, you're on my hair! Oh. Ow!
Oh. Wow. She, later that same year, she met and married Sylvester Stallone.
Wow.
She was kind of a slut.
I beg your pardon.
What? Well, I mean, that's the actual definition of a slut.
Can I just say, I love this, having been the victim. I was a real life in a Larry David Curb Your Enthusiasm. Did you see the tape on TMZ? He got trapped in a parking garage.
Because
he couldn't figure out how to get out.
One of those automated ones where you have to pay before you go back to your car? Yeah.
Yes. I was in a real life one, as you know, because his ex-wife looks a lot like Michelle Reiner, and I mistook the two of them.
Yes, you did.
And they were not really happy about it, and then I was seated right next to Larry David and his wife at dinner.
His lovely wife.
And it was
awkward.
Yeah. All right, that's it for us. Tomorrow, it is Fridays with investigative journalist and sexy liberal John Fugelsang.
And Sketcher.
Yeah, join us then on the Stephanie Miller Show.